Welcome to Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a program dedicated to biblical truth and prophecy featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Mission Watch Satellite Radio Program. We're broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. The broadcast date for this program is the first day of the week, July 24, 2011. If you need help after this program, call me, and I will pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, and your prayer request or message. Or you can email me at elcm@messiahsbranch.org or pastor@wichitahomeless.com. Okay, well, in an emergency, you can even, it's on the website, you can get me by my cell phone. If it's in the late afternoons or early evening, 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You know, if you're looking for any information about our programs and news and many other things, you can go to our blog, which is at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. We have some new pages over there where you can look and see the upcoming guests for the week and of course several players over there to hear our past radio program. So go check it out. And above all, share that webpage with others, and also share it with others. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, and share it with family. That's what I was going to say. Share it with family. Now first a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father God, I ask that what comes out tonight is what you want to come out and not what I want. And I ask you also that tonight programs to the healing of many of your people who are in great tribulations even now. Amen and amen. Well, this last Thursday, I did a radio program with Pastor Willem Shiflett. Friendly Fire was the name of his book, and it is a really good read. In fact, after reading through the book, it was kind of hard to put down. I thought that tonight was a good time to encourage the saints because it put a lot on my heart. You see, while there are many, many middle class and upper class people out there that are doing just fine, there are many more out there that are out of work or, you know, some call it underemployed. Some people work in double jobs, and the economy is just getting worse and worse. You know, I see this as a time comes along because, you know, we have our mission church, which I always say, you know, donate to the mission church so we can help the homeless and the poor. The poor being, there are lots of poor people in the neighborhood that aren't homeless that come in looking for plates of food, you know, some of them with children and some not, some families with a husband and some not with a husband. And some, we've even have cases of men with children. But, so we also help a broad spectrum even more than just the homeless. And so why is it this, you know, so many people are losing their jobs, and it's getting worse. You know, a lot of the word that they're afraid to say, the congressman, is that we're, you know, coming into a depression, or we are in a depression. If you look at most of the depression numbers, we really are outbeating the depression numbers as far as housing numbers and other things. And they just don't want to say it. And that in itself tells us where America has come to be at. We're not living in an age of truth, but we're living in an age of lies. Nobody wants us to tell the truth because if the congressmen tell the truth, then it makes them look bad. Or the other side jumps on them for telling the truth. And, you know, let alone, not that I'm no longer what you would call a Republican to identify with Republicans. I'm more of an independent voter, but you can use that as an example that the Democrats can say anything and get away with just about anything, and the liberal media is right there, you know, backing them up. When a real story comes out against them, like this Operation Gunrunner thing, and which, by the way, you should be following that. That's like Watergate with murder. But anyway, and on the birth certificate issue, you know, it's blatantly people have proven, several people have proven that the document's a forgery, but will anybody do anything about it? Will the FBI investigate it? No. Will Congress pick it up? No, because they have the liberal media against anybody that would pop up and say something about it to make them look like they're, you know, just lying or that they're a racist. And racism isn't at the issue. You know, if anybody's racist, it looks like Obama is. He's racist towards the white people and towards the people that identify him because of just because of his black skin color. You know, I always say that the color of a man's skin doesn't make the man. You know, there's some terrible white people and there's some terrible black people. There's some terrible Hindus, so on and so forth. Not singling anybody out, but you are what you are in your heart, and that's what matters. And Obama's heart, he's made it worse. The employment options are worse for the black man in this country than when he became into office. They want to blame it all on Bush, which is a big fat lie. Bush, while the economy did start to go under Bush, there was not near this debt. These things happen that has put us in so much debt. It's Obama's failed policies that did it. But I didn't want to get on here and talk about Obama and rail against him. There's enough programs doing that. But I wanted to tell you that the tribulations that we go through, you know, the great tribulation is a biblical thing. And here's why let's look at it this way. The tribulation is because man has failed God. We've had what God would call 6 years to get it right on our own. A year for God is as 1,000 years. So we've had 6,000 years to get things right. Well, Messiah came almost around 2,000 years ago to set us free. And then so we've had, you know, like you say, 4,000 before Messiah, and then after Messiah, almost 2,000. And it's coming up on that time, which the day of the Lord will be at. And it's even at the door. If you can't tell, then you're blind. If you look at Israel, which is our time clock, Israel's surrounded by enemies. Israel is, all nations are, it seems that all the nations are turning against them. And why? Because of the liberal news media and because, the liberals are siding with the Muslims. How ludicrous. You know, because these liberal women that like to take off their bras claim that they're free, they wouldn't be able to take off a bra practice. They wouldn't even be able to uncover their head if they lived under the wonderful Sharia law that they're putting forth. So it's all a lie. They're all blatantly lied. And how can they be deceived? They can be deceived because of the devil. But anyway, because if you're not saved, the devil can tell you anything and you'll believe it. That's just the point. Very much so. Anyway, going on here, you know, so people are in great tribulation right now. And tribulation is about getting the body of Messiah right. Getting the body right. What's that mean? That means Yeshua is coming back for a church that are the called out ones, that are without spot or wrinkle. Well, the church doesn't look like it's without spot or wrinkle, but if you go through tribulation, and that's what this book about Friendly Fire was about this week, is going through tribulations. But tribulation makes a man better. God puts you, allows you to go through things. So he puts you in the fire without really burning you, but changing you, molding you, so that you'll be more like Yeshua. Anyway, I've got a scripture here for you. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Yeshua Messiah, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which ourselves are comforted by Yahweh. Let me go on here. I've got another one for you. My brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. That's in James 1, 2 to 4. So we're getting a picture that by our faith, you know, we go through tribulation. I got one right here, another one. In this you greatly rejoice, though that for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, and that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. Again, the issue isn't against faith, but trials through faith, producing eternally enduring purity of the character. Paul rounds out this observation in his words to the Roman church. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our Lord Yeshua Messiah. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So we're being tried in the fire. We're being changed. Don't you get it? We are being pruned. You know, that's how it's described, that we're like branches, and the branches that don't produce fruit are pruned or cut off and thrown away, but first they're pruned to see if they'll produce fruit. And, well, why don't you listen to this song? And I think this song will greatly express what I'm talking about.
Pruning for the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. For Jesus is the true vine, whose Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad and we have to shed some tears. The end time harvest is coming soon. Must be thankful if we've been pruned. But what it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it 'cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's picked for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
Now here's a quote that I think that would help you from Friendly Fire. There's a place here it's from Jerry, a man by the name of Jerry Bridges, and he wrote, years ago, Mr. Scott Peck wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled, that began with a three-word sentence, life is difficult. Most people would agree with that, but if you've lived very long, you realize life is difficult, or at least often difficult, and sometimes it's even painful. At other times, you will experience both difficulties and pain. So if you want to endure to the end, you want to stand firm in the face of life's difficulty and pain. Then you must have a firm belief in the sovereignty and the love of Yahweh. You must not only believe that Yahweh is in control of every event in this universe, and specifically every event in your life, but that Yahweh, in exercising that control, does so from because of his infinite love for you. Well, of course, the Father loves us. And so, while, yeah, he could miraculously take us out of a trouble, you know, like he could create a miracle, and then, but what do you learn if it's just like a, let's go with this. Have any of you have children out there, and you know that if you bail your child out consistently every time they get in trouble without letting him go through a little bit of trouble, then, you know, that's just like the Father creating a miracle when you bail them out. You create a miracle for that child and bail him out of the trouble that he's in. But most of the time, the child doesn't learn anything because it was done for him. While he might have been very thankful and thought, wow, this is a great thing that you have done for me. But the lesson of the wrongdoing that he did, well, that doesn't always sink in. And so we're like little children, just in that manner. So our Father allows tribulation to happen. I mean, look at Job. Job was a perfect man in all his ways. And God the Father allowed him to be tested by the devil into a very extreme manner to prove something to the devil. I mean, actually, I'm not going to say why the Father allowed it, but he did allow it, and the devil only got to go as far as he was allowed to go. The Word of God says that, you know, he is one God that he changes not. So that is his attitude. He loves us, and, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not saying that you folks out there are Job or perfect, but, you know, if you're going through tribulation, you must have great faith in Yeshua. You must have faith in the Father that they are in control of things and that they're allowing to what goes on in your life for your good. Sometimes, you know, I've even seen instances where people, you know, they've been taken away by the Father, but it was actually for their own good. Like the life of a man that I knew in the street that we called him Hambone. And old Hambone, he didn't feel like that he could get saved. And he, bad guy, everybody was afraid of him. And one day he had picked up a book in our mission church, and that's what we do, lay books out. And he said, can I have this? And I said, sure, that's what it's for. We read the book and came back to me later, a few days later, a week later, something like that. Time span doesn't really matter. It's within that period. I'm getting old. I can't remember. You know, all my days seem, you know, as one yuck yuck. I marked my time from, oh, it's Sabbath already? No, anyway. So anyway, he came back to me maybe a week later, or could have even been a few days, but he had read the book. And he said, I finally get it. And I said, well, get what? And he said, well, I can be saved too. I can be forgiven. And I said, well, where did you come to that conclusion at? And he said, well, that book that you gave me. He said, Paul was forgiven and David was forgiven. All these people in the Bible have been forgiven and even became great men after being forgiven. Of their crimes, of even things like murder and adultery and all kinds of things. He says, so I know I can be forgiven. Well, you know, that man became saved. And like I say, he was a bad guy. I mean, used to be a bad guy, but all of a sudden, here's this bad guy that's all of a sudden, you know, he's changed and, you know, making a different life for himself. After making that change, because the only people that he ever knew in his life, he was in his 50s, I think, anyway, it looked so, was that with all these people in his life that were bad, and he had no means to get away from them, nor, you know, after being that old, to really make a change. So it was very hard for him. Well, you know, about a week after we had that conversation, you know, he died of a massive coronary. And, you know, they said he just went real quick. But can you see in your heart that man's death was for his own good. That man, God the Father, allowed that man to die so that he could have a place in heaven and be with him. Had he not took him, allowed him to be taken when he did, then, you know, I'm not God, I can't tell, but I know this man would have had a very, very, very hard time being good. So you have to see that the Father is doing things for you because he loves you. And not because he wants you to be without tribulation in this world. Yeshua HaMashiach said that we would be in tribulation in this world, to expect tribulation. This whole concept that if we believe in Yeshua, that we're going to have perfect lives with no tribulation is just really a bunch of malarkey. Because he said, and I don't doubt Yeshua's word, that we would have tribulation in life. And tribulation, you know, is testing. How we react to that tribulation is sometimes even tells the tale of how long we'll be in it. And so it doesn't take a good man. Just like I say, a good man can go into tribulation, or a good church, or a good hospital, or a good business. They can all go into tribulation in order to be changed. And prayerfully that you come out changed and better, because the Father is just trying to make you better. This adage that, well, that person must not be doing something right, or he must be in sin, is just that, is a whole load of garbage. A whole load of garbage. Well, I think I'm going to play another song for you, to make it an easy evening. And I think I'm going to play this song that says he's always on call. Yeshua HaMashiach, if you pray in his name to the Father is always on call. He's always ready to help you if you just call out. It says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the same shall be saved. To be saved, you must also turn away from sin. But let's hear this song. It's called Always on Call.
Friend, if you're troubled and you lost your way, don't worry about it, everything's okay. Jesus gonna come himself and look for you. Give you a charge of the Holy Ghost power, see you through your troubled eyes. His light is bright, surely you will find your way. He's always on call. He wants to save alone. His charge is always free. With a shout of victory, what more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer's always yes to meet your need. Problem and worry's got you down. Jesus gonna take you to higher ground. His blessings will flow, lift you above the storm. Like the thief in the night, he'll be coming soon. Could be morning, night or noon. Are you watching for that blessed hour to come? He's always on call. He wants to save the lost. His charge is always free. With a shout of victory, one more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer is always yes to meet your need.
Yes, folks, and he's always on call. He's there for you anytime, day or night. You're just never alone. Yeshua is always there for you. he says, don't ask. He said, whenever that day that you don't ask him, you ask me nothing, but ask of my, of the Father in my name, then you shall receive. So you need to communicate with the Father through his Son, Yeshua. For the only way to the Father is through his Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, and we'll have more.
Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Okay, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch on the American Voice Radio Network. Remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and the poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Please consider being a monthly supporter. $10, $20, $30 a month or a week really adds up and it makes a fantastic donation. Those kind of donations, when you donate to people that can never repay you, and we can never repay you, and the homeless will never be able to repay you to say thank you for it. So those are the kind of blessings where you store up treasures in heaven. So if you can afford it, you know, $20 a month or a week would be a great big blessing. And if you can afford $100, that would be even so much more. I get admonished sometimes for different ministers for not saying, well, why don't you ask him for $10,000? That's what you really need. Or $3,000 or $20,000. Well, you know, I don't even like to ask for any donations at all, but the Father has ordained that this is a way through radio and through our internet that we would get support for our mission church, which through you we have helped thousands upon thousands of people. Realistically, we're supposed to pay off our building this year, sometime this next year, which our year end starts a new year for us economically in September. We're supposed to pay off our building, but right now, yeah, we need your support. We need to bring in at least, to do the church without a whole bunch of extras, you know, we need to bring in about $3,000 or $4,000 a month. So it's really tough. So with this economy the way that it is, you know, we're going through a test ourselves. This program tonight is about tribulation and testing. We're going through a test ourselves, and but we'll get through it. I have faith that the Father is going to carry us through this. And so praise the Father and His Holy Son for putting us through this test and that we're being changed by it in Yeshua's name. Anyway, due to the pending economy, we're helping more and more people who have got hit by this economy, men, women, and children come seeking miracles from our little mission church. In fact, agencies that know us and know that we really don't have any money, and they really have budgets of millions of dollars, send people to us for just those things. Because they see the many miracles that somehow the Father does through our little mission church. So what about it? Would you help with a donation tonight or today, whenever you hear this program? Anyway, and now we're back. And we're talking about, just before we went on break, we're saying he's always on call. And I said, remember that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved, the Lord Yeshua. Well, becoming saved is a process. I mean, first you have to realize you're a sinner, and that without him, you're nothing but a filthy rag, that you are a sinner. No man is without sin or woman without sin. So you have to repent of being a sinner and accept that his sacrifice for the breaking of the covenant with God, and for our sin, you know, is his sacrifice through, by his body. It absorbs our sin, took them to the cross, so to speak. And by his blood, our sins are washed away. And that's what he means in the Lord, when he says, do this in remembrance of me. For as the bread is his flesh and the wine is his body. Not literally, but you understand the representation there. So our sins are washed away by his blood. But that means we are supposed to turn our sin, because it says once we receive the knowledge of truth, and we continue on in sin, there remains no more sacrifice for your sins, which Yeshua is a sacrifice for your sins. So the sacrifice of your sins is taken away. And that's in Hebrews, it's taken away if you continue on in knowledgeable sin. So you have to turn away from sin. You have to learn what sin is. Learning what sin is simple. It says, for whoever sins also transgresses the law. Or that's Torah. We'll get into that later. But anyway, once you repent, he says, once you repent and be baptized, he said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. But where did that come from? Here's a reference in Ezekiel that talks about it. Then I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, that they shall be my people and I will be their God. Or he will be our God. He'll be our God, the Father. He'll be your Father. And so you need to respect him as such. So we have a Father. Amen. Which, isn't that wonderful? Even those people out there that said, I've never had a father in my life. I've never had a dad even. No father. You would gain a father, somebody to love and cherish you, to look over you, to correct you when you're wrong, and reward you when you're good. And even to change you. Even to, you know, it's just like my children. I don't give them everything that they want. Sometimes when they ask me to do something just as they're growing up, I just say no. And not because there was any wrong in asking or any wrong in doing, but you have to teach your children that, you know, not everything's free. It's a teaching thing. And our Father does the same thing to us. And he loves us. And my no's are usually no's. God the Father does this to us. If he doesn't give it to you and give you things unless you're ready for him. It's just like my son, if he comes up and says, my 10-year-old, he says, well, I want a BB gun, Dad. I said, okay, you can have a BB gun, son, but not until you may have it now. I may even go, he has one, but he cannot have it in his possession until he has been trained with it and he is old enough to be responsible with it. And then he's allowed that. Well, that's just like your father. He may have promised you something or you asked for something, but are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? If you're not ready for it, then, you know, he's just not going to give it to it until you're ready for it, because he doesn't want to make you fall. Just like somebody, as I said earlier on the other program, earlier this week, that, somebody that had, you know, look at some of these people that have lottery tickets and they win a bunch of money and it win millions of dollars, and then afterwards, a year or something, they're worse off than they started because they wasn't mature enough to handle it. So it should be held back. It's just like when somebody leaves a will. How many times you see people leaving wills or trusts for people, and the children don't get the trust until they're, or maybe it was by their grandparents, but anyway, they don't get received a trust until they may be in their 20s or maybe even 30s. You know, and some are just 18, but, you know, they do that for a reason. So they give it to them when they're ready. And lo and behold, you know, things are getting so bad. But, you know, how can we not rejoice Him? How can we not? Because He is our Savior. He is our Savior, and we should love Yeshua as much. Let's try this song. Yes, He laid His life down for us. He died because He loved us. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in needs and shuts his heart up from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this that we know we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if the heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And his commandment, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Yeshua Messiah, and love one another as he gave his commandment. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Did you hear that? Love is action. It's action. You know, it's not just like, let me find this other scripture for you. I got one in James chapter 2, I think it is. Oh yes, here it is. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God the Father, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God the Father. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when he received the messengers and sent them out another way? For the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In both of these instances, in both of these scriptures, is teaching you, this was James, you know, the half-brother of Yeshua, and the other was John, the most beloved of Yeshua. And they were close to him, and so they were teaching you that if you have something that you're supposed to share it, that's love, is by sharing. You know, just saying that you love one another as Christians, or you love your mother, you love your father, do you ever sacrifice for them? Yeshua sacrificed for us. So should we not sacrifice also for our brethren? Well, that's what he's telling us, and that's what we need to look at. So the word says that we are to be holy, even as he is holy. So you need to take your sandals off and stand on holy ground. That's what you need to do.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. A bush was burning with the flame, by the power of God's glory, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down and take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, and he was standing. Holy ground, holy ground. They were standing holy ground. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three. Must have had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, 'cause he was standing on holy ground. they were standing, standing on holy ground. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
Yes, folks, are you standing on holy ground? He's called us to love one another, even as he has loved us. He was asked, what are the greatest commandments in the Torah? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, so many folks think that, I know there's a lot of folks out there that think that they're just going to get, well, I'll get right when the tribulation comes. But they don't get it, that these things is here. Time is just so short, and they just don't know it. And that's why my heart yearns for you to come. When I call on my radio program and I say, I pray that you come to Yeshua tonight, that you make this choice tonight, for your life, to allow the Holy Spirit into you, to have time to work, so that you can pray to be worthy to escape all these things, because time is so short.
I've got a story to tell you, a message to deliver in song. If you'll give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls if they don't know. Bible says they're walking in darkness, they cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls if they don't know. Every single day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls if they don't know. Now you've heard this message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. Vineyard ripe, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls if they don't know. Their souls and they don't
know. No, so many of them out there don't know, and that's why my heart cries out. And that's why we do this radio program, not just to get support for the mission, but so to call you to salvation, because that's what the Father is doing. In His Son's name, He is calling you to salvation, for the time is near. The time is so near. And I have one more song for you, and I want you to take comfort in this song, because it's one of the most comforting songs I think I've ever heard.
figure out what this world is all about. I know one thing without a doubt, my Lord is in control. Perilous times I know are here, men's hearts failing because of fear. But here's one thing I know is clear, my Lord is in control.
Yes, saints, he is in control. He's always in control. But anyway, I got to get out of here. Pray again for about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your support. We really do need your support. Pray about it. Help us to stay open. We've been doing this 11 years, and we've helped thousands and thousands of people by your help. And we need your help now. We really need, if you can't afford anything, pray for us. Pray that a miracle comes and sets us free from this burden of that's hanging over the church right now. So not for us, but so that we can help the people, because we have so many to help. Pray in. Pray the Father gives us one of those large donations, because we really need to get out of place. We just pray about it and take this as serious. And I pray that you get saved. And if you need my help, call me, 620-878-4682. We must remember that there's only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And his son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights later. And through him is the only way to the Father. It wasn't a day. It wasn't because he hated it. He did it because he loved us. And the Father loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to us so that we might live. Well, remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next time, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.